Well, morning everyone here in the auditorium at Church in the Marketplace. Hi, if you're watching up in the gallery, I've got to learn now to look at the camera and not just look up there. So hi everybody up in the gallery, or if you're joining us online, it's good to be with you today and it's good to be sharing God's Word together. Would you please open your Bibles at Matthew chapter 8? We're going to pick it up in a few moments at verse 23. So Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. Well, today we're wrapping up a series that we call Just Say Yes. We've been talking about that step of faith in which we say yes to God. Yes to some part of God's purpose for our lives. Yes to some prompting of the Spirit of God that God seems to be laying on our hearts and minds. And folks, I don't want to pretend that it is easy to say yes to God. We've talked about needing some vision, some seeing, some sense of where God is leading us. We've talked about needing faith of reaching that point where we step out in a new direction and trust God for the outcomes. And last week we thought about the cost of saying yes. It costs everything, really. All of who we are, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. But when it's done faithfully and wisely and prayerfully and in response to the Spirit, there is nothing quite like saying yes to God. I think that was happening last week when we moved Sunday worship into the auditorium here at Church in the Marketplace. I believe that it was a move planted in the hearts of folks who first moved into this building. I believe it was a move in response to wisdom and faithfulness and prayer on the part of many of you and the hard work of many of us. And I'm okay to tell you that I didn't sing and play guitar so well last Sunday, because every time when I looked up and I saw you, all I could see was the yes that you said to God. And my eyes, you might have noticed it, but my eyes would be welling up with tears and my voice would begin to break up. Saying yes to God is an awesome, amazing thing to do. But folks, it is true, saying yes is not always easy. Sometimes saying yes to God is all about facing the reality of our life's circumstances. Sometimes saying yes to God is about the storms of our life. And that's what we want to explore a little bit this morning, because we're already well into February. It's almost March. Reality 2014 style has well and truly hit. Perhaps you had some plans. I had some goals. You were going to change your thinking. I was going to change my family. You were starting something new. I was giving up a habit. And now the reality is, it seems a little more difficult than we thought it was going to be. It's not happening like we wanted it to. So what do we do when reality hits? How do we just say yes then? Oh, come on, this bit of technology isn't liking me. Why? Can you just switch it from there? Paul, writing to the Philippians, says, don't worry about anything. Can he really mean that? Could he possibly mean, in the face of reality, don't worry about anything? Some of us right now, even reading that verse, it creates more stress for us, because we feel like, now I've got to worry about being worried. I'm worried about enough other things, and I've got to worry about that too. Truth is, we all struggle with worry. It's more obvious in some people than others, but we all struggle with it, and we deal with it in different ways. Some people sweat by the bucket load when they worry. Other people become really quiet when they worry. Some people withdraw into themselves. Some people yell. Some people try to get control of everything when they worry. And what keeps us worrying at some level is it works. It reminds us what to do. It gets us motivated. We're thinking, if I don't worry, who is going to worry? How's the job going to get done? You know what I'm talking about, some of you professional worriers. Maybe I should put my hand up too. And the truth of the matter is, even though we feel that way, really worry doesn't work for us, it works on us. It does things to us physically, it does things to us emotionally, it does things to us spiritually, things that really keep us from the life that God has for us and the joy that God has for us. So if we're going to get past worry, past anxiety, then we've got to have something better. It's not enough just to say, don't worry. We need to know how to say yes to God in this part of our lives too. So as we prepare to do that, let's pray. Lord, it's true. We do worry. Some of us not as often as others, but there always comes a point of anxiousness and stress and worry for us. And we'd love to know how to deal with that perhaps more effectively in our lives. So Lord, as we open your word this morning, we pray that you will teach us. You will reveal to us maybe some of the things that really we are worried about. You'll help us lay them before you and give them to you. And we pray that you would teach us something about how we might continue to do that day by day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's a classic worry story in the Bible that really happened to Jesus' disciples. I think it's got a few clues about how we face our reality and what it is to say yes to when reality feels like it's closing in on us. The first thing that we have to do is face reality. That's where it starts. We're not going to get past our anxieties. We're not going to get to yes by pretending everything's okay, because it's not all the time. We start by facing reality. The disciples had a reality to face. The Bible says in Matthew 8, if you want to follow in your Bible, 8 verses 23 and 24, then Jesus got into the boat and started across the lake with his disciples. Suddenly a terrible storm came up with waves breaking into the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. So you've got a little boat, big lake, Sea of Galilee, huge storm, Jesus asleep. Perfect picture of reality and anxiety, I imagine. Let me unpack that very quickly for us. If we think of these disciples and all they went through, there are four experiences that they're having, and there are four experiences that are just like the realities that you and I face in life. So the first one is the storm in the picture. It's a bit like the unexpected problems that we face. They're on this lake, it's perfectly calm, everything was okay, and then all of a sudden, a storm comes up. The Sea of Galilee is a bit like a natural wind funnel. If the wind picks up, you can go from calm to destructive storm in an instant. It's a bit like the 3 or 4 o'clock nor'easter that can kind of hit when you're out sailing. That's what happened to them. And that's a bit like our lives. Everything can look fine, everything can look calm, and then all of a sudden a circumstance comes up and we start wondering where the next disaster is coming from. And here's the point, if we try to build a lessening of anxiety on everything going right in life, on the sea always staying calm, we're never going to get there. We don't know what's going to happen with the circumstances of life. So we don't build some pretend life and then think it's going to be okay. We face our reality and watch what God can do there. The disciples, they had a storm on the way, and then they had a second circumstance. They're in this boat, just sitting there, and they're watching the waves begin to come into the boat, the waves starting to rock the boat. All of a sudden, the waves actually come over the edge. The waves are getting higher in the boat. They're overwhelming circumstances, overwhelming problems. Friends, in our lives, there are some circumstances that you face and that I face that we think, okay, I can face that. I'm okay. I can face that in this boat. It's a calm sea. But once the waves start coming over the edge of the boat, we begin to feel like there's no way I can face that one. Overwhelming circumstances in the news. Overwhelming circumstances in our life. You feel like the boat's going to go over. What am I going to do? That's the reality of life that we face sometimes. They had a storm on the way. They had the reality of the waves that were coming in the boat. They had a third thing. The boat really is inadequate. They're in this boat and it's not big enough to weather the storm. If they'd been on a cruise liner on the Sea of Galilee, like you can see sometimes today, it would have been fine, no problem. But the boat was too small to weather the storm. If we look at our lives, you and I have inadequate resources too. We might face inadequate resources in our finances. If we had all the money in the world, we'd have nothing to worry about, but we don't. If we had all the time in the world, we'd have nothing to worry about, but we can't. If our health was always perfect and we always had a full tank of energy, no worries. But it's not like that. We have inadequate resources. We face that reality. And then there's a fourth reality they faced. Jesus was sleeping. It's the reality of feeling alone. Here they are in this boat. His disciples are at one end of the boat. Jesus is sleeping at the other end. The storm's getting worse and it's getting worse and it's getting worse. And they feel like they're going to go under. Jesus has just ministered to thousands of people. He's going to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. He's tired. He's sleeping through this storm. And the disciples are seeing the storm get more and more fierce, and they begin to think, when's he going to wake up? Is he ever going to wake up? Has he got a pulse? Imagine the conversation they're having. Maybe you should wake him. I'm not waking him up. You wake him up. I'm not waking him up. The last time I woke him up, he told me to walk on water. I'm not waking him up. So they're having this conversation. Finally, someone goes to wake him up. And in that moment when Jesus is asleep and they're facing this storm, I imagine they're feeling Jesus could make a difference, but he's not awake, so I'm all alone. That's how we feel sometimes. We face the circumstances of life and the realities of life, and the worse it gets, the more you wonder, where is God in all of this? We're facing a problem. We know that God must know what we're going through, but the problem keeps on going on, and the feeling we have is, Jesus is asleep over here in my boat. He's not awake to this problem. There's something in us where our constant cry becomes, God, why don't you do something about this? You know, the longer I've been in church, the harder it is to admit that. That there are times in every one of our lives where we begin to think, God, why don't you do something? Why are you letting this just go on and on and on? Can't you see the waves are getting higher and higher and the boat's about to go under? We just want to shake God awake. We know God is bigger than that, but that's how we feel right now. That's the reality. And how do we keep from worrying when it seems to us that God is slow in answering, when it seems to us that life is overwhelming? Clichés don't work. They don't stop us worrying. I could stand here and sing the sun will come out tomorrow 1,000 times. It's not going to help. Statistics don't work. I could tell you, and it's a huge statistic, that 92% of what we worry about is never going to happen anyway. 92%. But you're thinking, yeah. What about the other 8%? That is going to happen. I'm going to face that. That doesn't work. Even appealing to the physical problems that worry brings, that doesn't work either. I could tell you that you've got tense muscles, raised heart rate, raised blood pressure, that your glands are pumping hormones into your body when you worry that actually take life away from you and wear you out and shorten your life. We could talk about all those things, but in the face of the reality of life, if I'm going to stop having anxiety and worry, I've got to have a better answer. Just saying, this isn't a good idea, isn't enough. Friends, we'll never get rid of our anxiety by telling ourselves not to be anxious. That just makes us more anxious because we're focused on our anxiety. The only way to get rid of it is to find a positive alternative. We need an answer. What's the answer? The first one is we face reality. The second one is that we choose faith. In the full face of reality, we still choose faith. We choose to say yes to God. We do what the first followers of Jesus did. In fact, they give us a template of how to choose faith. So still back in Matthew chapter 8, verses 25 to 27. Disciples went to him and woke him up shouting, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. And Jesus answered, why are you afraid? You have so little faith. And then he stood up and rebuked the wind and the waves, and suddenly all was calm. The disciples just sat there in awe. Who is this? They asked themselves. Even the wind and the waves obey him. There are four things we do when we choose faith to just say yes in the midst of the reality of our lives. First thing we do is ask for help. Finally, the disciples got to the point where the danger was so great, they had to wake Jesus up. They had to ask for help. I don't know why it is that we wait until we think we're almost going to drown until we ask for help. I don't know why we do that. These were fishermen. They thought they could handle it maybe. We go through this, all of us, where we think, I can handle it. I can handle it. No, I can't. I'm going to die. We do it. It's at the last point that we finally ask for help. You know, warriors that remain warriors are usually reluctant to ask for help. It may be that we're too embarrassed to say we need help. It may be we think we know better than everybody else. But I think most people, they don't ask for help just because they don't want to bother other people. I'll handle it myself. Ask for help. God made us to be connected to other people. God made us to be connected to Him. That's where we begin. Folks, it doesn't bother God ever for us to ask for His help. In fact, He asks us to ask for help. Let me finish the verse that we started with. Philippians 4 verse 6 says, don't worry about anything, but, then it ends, instead pray about everything, tell God what you need, and thank Him for all that He's done. When we ask God to help us, there's more power in that simple request than anything else to deal with worry in our lives. This is God's prescription. The single most effective cure for anxiety and worry is ask. It's prayer. What I love about this verse is it gives us some directions for the kind of prayer that defeats worry. What kind of prayer deals with the anxiety in my life? The kind of prayer that includes three things: talk and tell and thanks. First, we talk. We talk to God. What do we talk to God about? Everything. If we made this whole stage a big prayer scale, and on one end of the scale was, I never pray at all. And maybe here somewhere is, I pray only in desperate emergencies. And here somewhere is, I talk to God once or twice a day. And up here at the lectern is, I have a constant conversation with God. I'm talking to Him all the time about the details of life, the good, the bad, the ups, the downs. When it comes to worry and anxiety, the closer we get to this end of the scale, the less worry we're going to have. It's not a matter of waiting until things get really bad. The closer we get to this constant conversation with God, the less worry and anxiety we're going to have. Ask for help. That's where it starts. We've got to start by talking to God about everything. Then we tell. We tell God. That sounds strange, doesn't it? We tell God what we need. Pray about everything and tell Him what we need when we're praying about everything. A lot of us, we talk to God, but we never tell Him what we need. We go to talk to God and we talk to Him about the world and all the problems, and we talk to Him about the missionaries around the world, and we talk to Him about God keeping the moon and Mars in place because we need them, all of everything else, except, God, this is what I'm worried about. So we tell Him what we're worried about, and we're just honest about it. You might want to do that in your mind right now as we're talking. God, here it is. This is what I'm worried about right now. We tell God what we need. And don't forget the third one, we thank. We thank God for what He's already done. Thank You, God, even though I'm facing this circumstance I don't want to be facing, thank You for what You've already done in my life. Thank You for Your love. Thank You for this gift. There's something about gratitude that has a great power to defeat anxiety in our lives. So we talk, we tell, we think, we ask God for help. The second thing that happened in this story is we question our fears. The first thing Jesus did when He woke up, as He looked at the disciples, He said, "Why are you so afraid?" You can imagine the disciples' response. Jesus, look around, the wind and the waves, we're about to go under here. That's why we're so afraid. So why did Jesus ask the question? I suspect because Jesus knows that our worries always grow out of our fears. Always. They had Jesus in the boat. God was obviously going to take care of God. He's going to take care of Himself in the boat, but they didn't see that. They missed it, so they were afraid. Our fears always result in our worries in life. If we've got a worry, there is a fear behind it. You worry about one of your kids. There's a fear behind that anxiety. It might be a fear about how they'll look, about how you'll look, about how they'll turn about, how you'll turn out. Maybe it's a fear based on something that happened in your past. There's some fear that's creating the anxiety. If there's a constant anxiety in our life, look for the fear behind it. That's what Jesus encourages here. Why are you so afraid? We feel like our fears are the final authority until we question them. Then we realize we're not. God's the final authority. His word is what's going to last, not my fears. Did you know, do not be afraid is one of the most common phrases in the Bible? Do not be afraid. I listed one of them here from Joshua 1 verse 9. Don't ever be afraid or discouraged. I am the Lord your God, and I will be there to help you wherever you go. That command is repeated so often and to so many people. Don't be afraid. It's to all the great people of faith, all the way from Abraham to a guy named Zechariah in the Old Testament, from A to Z. He said it to Peter, Paul and Mary, not the pop group. He said it to all three of them. Which Mary, you might ask? To all three of the Marys. He said it to Mary Magdalene, to Mary the mother of Jesus, to Mary the mother of James. He said, don't be afraid to the shepherds. He said, don't be afraid to the 12 disciples. He said it to Salome and to Jairus and to Jehoshaphat. That's a great name in the Bible. If you're looking for a name for a son, I recommend that. It's a great name, Jehoshaphat. I'm only kidding. God told them, don't be afraid. Why does God tell them not to be afraid? Because they were afraid. That's what God tells you. Don't be afraid. Every one of these great people of faith, they faced fear in their lives. So God said, don't be afraid. The only way we never face fear in our lives is to try and bail out on life. Because anybody who's really living life, growing, facing problems, doing new things, willing to take a challenge, you're going to face some fears when you do that. When we do that, we question those fears. That's what Jesus encourages. Don't be afraid. When you face a fear, when I face a fear, I've got to choose what I'm going to do. Am I going to live with it? Constant anxiety. Am I going to run away from it? Constant running. Or am I going to face it with faith? That's the question. So you hear God's, don't be afraid. God said this to all these great people of faith in the Bible. He'll say it to you too, and he'll say it to me. Peter, don't be afraid. Jesus said to us, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give you isn't fragile like the peace the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid. So question our fears. Jesus encourages us to do a third thing. The third thing we do is increase our faith. If we're going to have faith, we also need to increase our faith. Am I telling you that you worry because you don't have enough faith? No, I wouldn't say that to you, I don't think. But I want you to notice that is what Jesus says to his disciples when they're worried in this storm. You of little faith. It's important to remember that these disciples had good reason to worry. They were fishermen. They knew what was going on. They knew the danger, but Jesus still said to them, you need to increase your faith. So that's a reminder that there are no circumstances good enough to worry about, none. Any circumstance that I worry about is going to take me in the wrong direction, a selfish direction, an anxiety direction. Any circumstance that I worry about is going to keep me from faith. So how do I face the circumstances, the real circumstances in this life, with faith? Jesus encouraged us. The way you face reality with faith is by understanding the reality of who God is. That is more real than anything else you're facing. He explained it in a couple of simple pictures. Matthew 6:30, Jesus taught, God clothes the grass of the field which is alive today, but tomorrow is thrown into the fire. Doesn't last a day. So you can be even more sure that God will clothe you. Don't have so little faith. The real question to me is, how do I increase my faith when I'm faced with so many circumstances that cause me to worry? How do you increase your faith in any circumstance? By realizing that the very same circumstances that cause me to worry can be circumstances where we can put our faith in God. Some of us, we are great worriers. There's no doubt about it. We can see a stuff up coming a mile down the road. We know it's coming. And we've been right most of the time, by the way. Other people, they're wrong, but we say it's going to happen. It's going to happen. We know we're right. We're great warriors. Folks, great warriors can also be great people of faith. Some people, they don't worry much because honestly, they're clueless. So they don't worry at all. They don't have any idea what's coming down the road, what's going to happen to them. They've just got this mentality that life is fine, so they have no worries. But not you. You know what's headed this way. So what are you going to do about it? That's the question. You know it's coming down the road. Are you going to worry about it in advance, or are you going to put faith in God in advance? Great warriors can be great people of faith, no doubt about it. How do we find the power to have faith in the midst of real circumstances? We put our faith in God. The Bible talks about what Jesus taught in Luke 8:14, about a situation that a lot of us face. He talks about a seed as a picture. He says, the seed that fell among the thorny weeds is like those who hear God's teaching, but they let the worries, riches and pleasures of this life keep them from growing and producing good fruit. For many of us, that's a picture of our life. We've been right on the edge so many times, on the edge of something great, on the edge of seeing some change in our character, on the edge of letting go of that habit that's been holding on to us for so long, on the edge of starting in that new ministry, of beginning that new vision of a new job that we wanted, of really making a difference in the way that we love our family. We want to do it. And we almost get there, but then the worry comes in and the anxiety comes and the desire for riches and the other things that Jesus says, and it pulls us back away. We live just short of where we know we could be living. Jesus says, just ask me to increase your faith one step at a time and let me increase faith in your life by trusting me with that problem you're facing right now. Don't wait till your life gets perfect to have faith in me. Trust me with what you're facing right now and watch how I work. Does God always work the way that I want God to work? Absolutely not. Do I always understand how God works in the midst of my problems and why he didn't do that and he did do this and why he did that for that person and he didn't do that for me? I have no idea. I am not God. But I do know when we trust him with problems, we see him at work in us and through us and even in the midst of the problem, increase our faith. Last one, we acknowledge God's control. What happens is almost funny if it wasn't so serious. Here are the disciples. They're hoping something is going to happen when Jesus wakes up. Finally, he wakes up and they're thinking they're about to die. Jesus just looks around and says, you of little faith, you shouldn't be so afraid. And then he looks at the wind and the waves and says, shh, be still. And it's all quiet and Jesus goes back to sleep. These disciples are standing there literally with their mouths wide open. Who is this? He tells the wind and the waves what to do. Here are these disciples. They're worried about what's going to happen to them and they've got God in their boat. Here we are, your life, my life, and we're worried about what's going to happen to us. Folks, we've got God in our boat. He's the one who created the galaxies of the world. He's the one who holds molecules together by his power. So what are we going to depend on? Is our life focused on the circumstances or on who's in our boat? Jesus in that moment showed us who God really is. He's in control even when I don't think he is. He's in charge of everything. There's no situation that can happen in our life for which God doesn't ultimately have control. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles 29, everything in the heavens and earth is yours, O Lord. We adore you as being in control of everything. It's not just I recognize God's in control, but I've got a relationship with the God who's in control of everything. I love you as the one who's in control of everything. That's what we build on. We acknowledge God's control. Why do we worry? Because we try to do what only God can do. We try to control the uncontrollable. to fix the unfixable, to do the undoable, to change the unchangeable, to make the unmakeable, and then we get undone and wonder why. Because we can't do what God can do. The problem with worry is we're trying to control it all. And when we try to control it all, what happens is we begin to shrink our life down to what we can control. And that's not the life that God has for us and that God wants for us. That's the biggest problem with worry. Even if we feel like it's not hurting us, the biggest problem with worry is it's keeping me in a little box. It's keeping me from all that God wants to do in my life. When we let the worry go and choose faith instead, when we just say yes and we acknowledge God's control, then we begin to live out what He wants to do in our lives, in our character, in our circumstances. Acknowledge God's control. Folks, when it comes to the struggles and problems we have with anxiety, Jesus gives some very practical advice on how to deal with it. In Matthew 6:34, here's how you handle it. His practical advice for the week. So don't be anxious about tomorrow. God will take care of your tomorrow too. Live one day at a time. That's how we do it. That's how we just say yes. We don't try and live tomorrow today. We live one day at a time. Does that mean we shouldn't plan for the future? No. The Bible says a lot about making goals for the future, planning for the future. We should plan for the future and make great goals, but then we take those great goals and we live them out one day at a time. One day at a time facing the problems. One day at a time facing the victories. One day at a time. Then when things don't go right, we keep trusting Him one day at a time. When things go overwhelmingly beyond what we could imagine, we keep trusting Him one day at a time. That's what God wants from you and from me. When we talk about worry and anxiety, I've got to tell you, I have great compassion for those of us who are feeling overwhelmed by a worry or an anxiety right now. I know the problem seems so big, you don't know how you're going to get out from under it. And it really does feel like your boat is sinking and you don't know where to turn next. When you don't know where to turn because of an anxiety, where do you start? You don't even know what to say. When you haven't been able to hear maybe a lot of what we've been saying this morning because that anxiety is just running through your mind, where do you start? What's the first thing you do to get help, to get relief? You start with the last verse that I've put in your outline this morning, 1 Peter 5:7. Give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares about what happens to you. You start by realizing that God cares about what you're going through right now. He cares about the hurt that you're facing. He cares about the details that are concerning you. He cares, He knows. And then you give those cares to Him. How do you do that? By talking to Him about it. Saying, God, I want to trust You with it. I ask Your help. I want to set my fears aside. I want to increase my faith even through this. I realize You're in control no matter what happens. God, as best I know how, I let it go to You. Help me live by faith one day at a time. That's what we do. In fact, let's take a minute to pray that right now. I want to invite you to pray a prayer just like that. To say, God, all my worries, my cares, I give them to You right now. I realize You care about me. I want to just say yes to You. Let me leave a moment of silence while you tell God what that care, that anxiety, that worry, that need you have is. Lord, here it is. Here's the thing I'm anxious about right now, right at this very minute. Here's the stuff that's rattling around inside my head. And I ask for Your help. Lord, I ask You to calm my fears and to increase my faith. I know You're in control of all things. Although I may not understand it all, may not ever understand it all, I know I can trust You with this. So right now I trust You with this situation, with this relationship, with this need, with this anxiety. I trust You because I know You are in control. although I may not understand it all, I know that you are a good and a generous God. Lord, help me when I'm anxious to remember the story of the disciples in the boat and how overwhelmed they felt. But Lord, remind me in the story that you were in the boat with them. And you quietened the waves and you quietened the storm. And they could know that all will be well. So Lord, we pray that in the face of our anxieties, in the face of the realities of the world around us, that you would help us this day and every day afterward, for just that day, to place our faith and our trust in you, to just say yes to who you are in our life and all our circumstances. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.